Okay, so how about let's read the title together, The Cycle of Our Spiritual Life, The Divine Light with an Exercised Spirit. The Cycle of Our Spiritual Life, The Divine Light. Let's say that again, The Divine Light. The Divine Light. Hallelujah for the Divine Light. Okay, so let's jump right into this. So Roman 1. According to the cycle of our spiritual life, the eternal life issues in its fellowship, and the fellowship of eternal life brings in the shining of the divine light within our being. So this kind of helps to give us context of where we are in the cycle of our spiritual life. Firstly, we saw the matter of the divine life, and hopefully we saw all the substitutes to the divine life. And more importantly, that the divine life is just Jesus Christ Himself. And for the divine life, all we had to do was open our being. Perhaps we were in sixth grade. We opened our being to the Lord. We repented to Him of our sins. And we received Jesus Christ as our Savior into our spirit. At that point, the divine life became our reality. We receive the divine life. And having the divine life, we began to enter into a kind of a fellowship. A fellowship with God who is not outside of us, but with a God who is subjective and inside of us. And we began to talk to Him and converse with Him and speak to Him. And we have a sensation of the sweetness of His flowing within. This is the vertical fellowship. Perhaps we experience this when we're reading the Word, the Bible, in the meeting, singing the hymns. There's just the flow of the divine life in our being as the fellowship transmitting the eternal life into us. And then there's the vertical fellowship. And as we are in fellowship with the Lord, there's actually something that we cannot escape. And as we are in fellowship with the Lord, a spontaneous byproduct of that fellowship is the shining of the divine light in our being. And actually, in our spiritual life, we may not have realized this, but light is more important than life. The divine light is more important than the divine life, in the sense that the divine light is the prerequisite for us receiving the divine life. And the example is in Genesis. In Genesis 1 and 2, you see God's work of creation. The earth became waste and void, and darkness was on the surface of the deep. And this is actually a picture of our human life. Before we knew God, we were just like that earth. Darkness, void, waste, and empty. And the first thing that God did in his restoration of the earth and in His further creation is He said, let there be light. And there was light. And this light that came was a general kind of a light. And as a result, there began to be life on the earth. And this life was a basic life. It was the plant life with a low consciousness, a lower form of life. And that was because the light that God called into being was general. But on the fourth day of creation, God brought in definite and concrete life forms. He brought in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And with the sun, the moon, and the stars, you have a more concrete shining of light. And with that, you have the higher forms of life corresponding to it. And so you have the fish, you have the birds, and then you have the animals. And then on the seventh day in Genesis chapter 2, the sixth day, God, He created man. And God is the highest light in the universe. And after the mentioning of God coming and creating man in Genesis chapter 2, we have the mentioning of the tree of life. So with the highest form of light, God Himself, there is the highest form of life, the tree of life. And actually in John 1:4, which we'll get to this, we can read Roman numeral 2. Let's read it together. God is light. Light is the nature of God's expression. And then this is from 1 John 1:5, which says, And this is the message which we have from him and announce to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So this is our God. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. How many of us want to grow in the divine life? I believe that's why we're all here. I want to grow in the divine life. Well, there is a prerequisite. There is the need for the shining of the divine light. And so A says the divine light is the divine life in the Son operating in us. This light shines in the darkness within us, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And you have John 1, 4 and 5 here. And this says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And actually, what you have here in Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God as life and God as light. And so we may ask ourselves concerning this matter of light. We may feel we do not have light. And when we think of light, we may think of Acts chapter 9 with the Apostle Paul on his way to Damascus, and a brilliant light shined upon him like the brightness of the sun, and he just fell on his feet. And he was there in the shining of God's light. And when we think of light, we often, in our experience, we think, well, I've never had an experience of that. Well, I'd like to tell you, I've never had an experience of light like that either. And besides the Apostle Paul, probably no one has had an experience of the shining of God's light to that kind of a degree. And actually, God's shining is not so much in that kind of a way. God's shining is inward, and it's in fellowship, many times unexpected, and it brings to us a certain kind of consciousness of different things, various things that we have done that have either offended God or have offended man. And it's hard for me to believe, us being here together in this training, that we are not under the shining of God's light. I believe everyone in this room has to some degree, being in this training, experiencing the shining of God's light. And this is a serious matter, because how we deal with the light will dictate how we grow in the divine life. This is not a scary matter, but it's definitely something we need to be sober about. We need to have a sober consideration of what will we do with the light from God that we have received. Our going on in the Christian life, our growth in the divine life, depends upon the light that we have received and what we do with it, our attitude toward it. And so I'd like to share a little something. I'd like to read to you all a little something here. And I hope this fellowship is not scary. Sometimes I heard, you know, about the shining of God's light, and it could be a little scary, you know, things. And it's really not. Actually, if we deal with the light, we enjoy life and peace. On the other side of the dealing of God shining in us and touching us, there is life and peace. So I'd like to read this to you. Okay. Because of our fallen nature, almost every Christian is sloppy in his spiritual life. This is because no one exercises control over us. In our schooling, we have a teacher, professor, or at least a grading system to exercise control over us. Similarly, many who are sloppy in other things are not sloppy in their job because their desire not to lose their job controls them. In the spiritual life, however, no one exercises control over us in this way. The church cannot fire a brother for being sloppy. Therefore, we need the training. The training is not merely the teaching of the Bible or of skills for the church. The training is simply a spiritual discipline that builds us up to discipline ourselves. As seeking ones of the Lord, we must learn to discipline ourselves. Many housewives know how to keep their house clean. If they mean business as a housekeeper, they will not ignore a piece of waste paper when they see it, but will throw it into the waste paper basket. Even a small piece of waste paper not picked up is proof that someone is a sloppy housekeeper. We need to discipline ourselves in the Christian life in the same way. We should not tolerate having any matters that remain undealt with. I'm going to continue reading one more paragraph. Some may say that they do not know how to receive light from the Lord. In actuality, we already have the light. If we see a piece of waste paper in our being, this indicates that we have some light. However, we may not care for the light, and we may not want to be exposed. We may see many things that need to be dealt with, but we may not care to deal with them. Rather, we may claim that we do not have the light and do not know what to do. We do know what to do, but if we do not deal with what we see, we will not receive further light. Light brings in more light. Okay, to go on. So, here we have an example. We all have the light. And I really feel the burden of this sharing really is to help us to deal with our sins. And there's a book called The Experience of Life, chapter 4. And the chapter is actually, it's titled, "The Dealing with Our Sins." And I believe many of you are here. Many of us need some foundational and basic experiences of dealing with our sins. And actually, as we go on in the outline, whenever the outline refers to walking in darkness, and this is referred to in 1 John chapter 1, it's actually referring to walking in practicing habitual sin. Habitual sin in context of 1 John chapter 1 is equated with walking in darkness. And we may say, what is sin? What is sin? Well, all sin is lawlessness, and all sin is unrighteousness. And there is sin that offends God, and there is sin that offends man. And I actually want to read a few things to you. And just to be clear, there's a difference between sin and sins. S-I-N and S-I-N-S. And sin refers to our sinful nature, which we received from Adam. And that satanic gene got passed on to each one of us as a byproduct of the fall. So actually, we're all born in sin, and we're all born in darkness. I was born in sin. I was born in darkness. But God's light shined into my being, and the light exposed me. And I began to have dealings with the Lord in the light. When I was in high school and when I was your age, I began to have dealings with the Lord in the light. And so I know exactly what this experience is like, to be under the shining of the Lord's light. It's challenging. We don't know what to do with it. We're unwilling to accept it. And Larry's going to get into this more. Actually, I'd just like to share quickly a personal testimony. I remember when I was in 9th grade. And I was visiting at a brother's house, and it was in the morning. This is an older brother, and they have a good amount of property. And he had a 4x4. And I remember, he offered us to ride the 4x4, and I was excited. And I said, I would love to ride the 4x4. And he had some family out of town visiting. And when it was my turn to ride the 4x4, I remember going down this hill, and there was this huge boulder right there. And I had, one of his nephews on the back with me. And I remember driving the thing, and somehow, I didn't even drive it for very long, it just went out of control, and it slammed into this boulder. And luckily, neither of us got hurt. But anyways, we pretend as if nothing had happened. And we drove the 4x4 back. We were very happy that it was still working. And we dropped it off, and we didn't say anything. And the next day, I believe this older brother, his nephew, asked to ride again, and he rode it. And then later that afternoon, on the next day, the brother asked me. He said, did something happen to that 4x4? Because the steering or something, it just seems kind of off. And I said, something to this effect. Yeah, I'm not sure what happened, but I think something happened, you know, probably with the other guy where he slammed into a rock or something like that. I can't remember exactly what I said, but basically I blamed it on his nephew. And then my life went on. I was in darkness, quite evident. And I was in maybe ninth grade. And I remember when I was 16, I was actually here at Occidental at a summer school of truth. And the Lord became so real to me. And actually, this is another point, is that we are not here in this training to speak doctrine to you. We're not here to pass on teachings to you. That means nothing. We want to bring the reality of God as the truth. We want that to shine in your being. And that will make God real to you. And what happened to me while I was here, I remember walking into the meeting with a brother. He had just graduated from high school. He was a freshman in college. And the brother was an absolute pattern to us in the enjoyment of the Lord. Surely God was real to him. And I remember just walking in the meeting and I said to this freshman brother as a sophomore in high school, I want to sit by you in this meeting because I want to touch my spirit. And I grew up in the church life and I heard about my spirit, but I had never touched my spirit. Maybe once, maybe accidental. 16 years old, growing up in the church life, never touching my spirit. And maybe some of us are actually in the same situation in this training. We've heard about our spirit and we've never touched our spirit. What is that? I'm so touched by Sam's testimony. Actually, I know Sam not so well, but from Anaheim. Where's Sam at? Shared your testimony last night. Sam is right there. I'm so happy. Praise the Lord for my brother Sam. That Sam has now begun to eat Christ as the tree of life. Watching others eat for so long. It's painful to watch others eat, to see others in the meeting full of the enjoyment. Praise the Lord, our brother has begun eating. Oh, saints, we all want to have this experience. So anyways, I had this experience. I found my spirit. God is real. The light is real. And when light shines on the truth, we get reality. The whole Bible is real. And then actually, if we open our being to the Bible and touch the Word in a proper way, we receive light. It's the shining of God into our being and brings us into all the divine realities. So if God is not real to you, you better pray. God, make yourself real to me. You should pray that in this training. So coming back to this story, So I had this touch with God. And actually, the Lord right away, the Lord began to deal with many things in my life. Immediately, many things began to deal with. I was living in sin. I was in darkness. I was with the wrong people. And I went home under the shining of that light. And I just said, I can't do anything. I said, Lord, I told my mom. I said, Mom, when my friends call me, tell them I'm not home. I'm not home. I'm not home. I don't want any darkness in my life anymore. I want the enjoyment of Christ as light. I want to maintain that fellowship that I was brought into through my time at that summer school of truth. But actually, sad to say, I lasted about a week. Fellowship was not maintained. And actually, it wasn't for a long time after that that I learned to maintain the fellowship of the divine life. And so anyways, high school was like that. It was just these experiences, wonderful experiences of the Lord, but never knowing how to maintain and sustain my fellowship with the Lord. This experience is common. This is what you're going to experience when you go home. You're going to be sitting on the edge of your bed thinking, how am I going to maintain my fellowship? Well, it will depend on how you respond to the shining of the divine light. And so I remember in college, the Lord was shining. I don't even know. And I got to wrap it up here. But the Lord, I don't even know how it happened. But suddenly, I just was fellowshipping with the Lord, perhaps. I had to have been. I had an acute memory in college of what happened as a freshman in high school, vividly. And the Lord just touched me. He said, you need to go to that brother and apologize for what you have done? Explain that it was not his nephew who crashed it, but it was you who crashed it, and offer any kind of a recompense to deal with any damages that he had to deal with because I crashed that. And I remember, I said, I don't have the money. I don't have the money. The brother lives now in another state. How am I going to go back there? I only go back there once in a while. I don't want to talk to him on the phone. I want to see him face to face. So actually, the Lord and I began to have an exchange. And long story short, actually, I remember it was a long time after. And I remember being in the meetings. And every time I touched the Lord, I would have this memory. It would just be that memory. And I just wanted to go away. And I would just go away. Maybe with time, it will go away. The light never goes away. And so eventually, I was just brought to a point in my spiritual life where I just said, I cannot go on anymore like this. I have no boldness toward God, no assurance of faith, and my spiritual life is leaking away because I won't deal with this one thing before the Lord. And so I said, I can't go on. The Lord was bothering me, prompting me with it. Deal with that thing. And so I did. I remember I was sitting with that brother in the truck. I had gone back to wherever I was. And he was there, and the Lord was just urging me. And I was sitting there, and I said, all right, it's now or never. So I said, I looked over to the brother. I just said, brother, you remember that 4x4? Remember that 4x4 that was crashed maybe about 6 years ago? But I was like, yeah, I remember. I was like, actually, your nephew didn't crash it. I did. And I'd like to apologize for lying to you and saying that he crashed it when I did. And I would like to offer any recompense to pay for any of the damages that were caused. And the brother, thankfully, he just said, you know, Enosh, it's okay. It's quite a long time ago. It's okay, brother. And he was like, I did have some suspicion that it wasn't my nephew. All right, amen. Life in peace. Life in peace. Oh, so released. Oh, saints. And you know what? You know what? Shortly after, I thought, oh, that's it. I'm free. I'm free. And then I just, you know what happened? Next time, the light shone again. This time it's stronger. This time something, another thing I didn't expect. Actually, this is our Christian life. It's full of dealings under the shining of God as light. And you know what happens? When we open ourselves to the Lord and to His shining, and we enter into this kind of fellowship, and we deal with these things under the divine life, the Lord as life follows that light and dispenses Himself into our being. And we grow in the divine life. And actually, you look around, all these serving ones here, this is our story. A God who said, out of darkness, light shall shine. It's the one who shined in our heart. Actually, all of us were sitting in darkness, but God shined in our hearts. So I better stop here and turn it over to Brother Larry. Actually, maybe we could just read through the outline real quick. I'll just read this to you. So B says, when we follow this light, we shall by no means walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. One, to walk in the divine light, which is the expression of God, is to dwell, live, move, and have our being in God. Two, to walk habitually in the darkness, which is the expression of Satan, is to live, behave, and have one's being in the nature of Satan's evil works. See, when the divine light shines, all the divine truths are a reality. But when we are in darkness, we have a sense of emptiness and vanity. Three, the divine light is crucial in maintaining our fellowship with God. A, our life relationship with God is unconditional and unbreakable. The life we received, we were born again. We're never going to be unborn. Never believe that you will lose your salvation. Your salvation is eternally secure. You will never lose your salvation. God is your Father. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. That light, that relationship in life can never be broken. However, our fellowship with Him is conditional. and must be maintained, right? If you're upset with your mother or father, what happens to the fellowship? It's interrupted. You come together, there's not a sweet feeling until somebody repents. Somebody says, I'm sorry. B, in order to maintain fellowship with God, we need to abide in Him. That means we need to turn to our spirit. We need to spend time with Him. C, the result of being in the light is the recognition that we are utterly sinful. The light exposes our failures, mistakes, wrongdoings, impure motives, and evil intentions. One last thing, and that is, we're only responsible. Maybe we've committed 100 sins, but in the shining of God's light, we only see 10 of them. Well, in fellowship with God, we're not responsible for the 100. We're only responsible for the 10. And we're only responsible for what the light touches. So actually, you know, let's say Joseph here commits a sin. And to Joseph, it's not a sin. It's nothing the light ever touched. But to me, I'm like, that's a sin, man. I can't believe you just did that. Bro, you got to repent for that. But Joseph's oblivious. Let God shine. Let's not impose our light on others. Let God shine. Amen.
I feel like the message is done. I have a couple points I do want to make, but as I share these points, I want you to remember that example. I mean, that I feel like Enosh's testimony. That's where we're going, okay? I think when we come to this matter of light, like Enosh says, sometimes we're scared. You read point C. Do you like that point? The light exposes our failures, mistakes, wrongdoings, impure motives, and evil intentions. Does that sound fun? Do you like that point? I hope you do. I hope you do. Because then you'll end up like Enosh. You'll end up with the light of life. You'll end up with more life, more fellowship of life. So we need to learn to love the light and not hide. Let's see. Oh, Lord. So just remember that testimony. I feel like that's the message. God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. Okay, so let's go on. Let's read D and E together. Light exposes and penetrates every hiding place. However, whatever the light exposes, the blood cleanses. Hallelujah! Whatever the light exposes, the blood cleanses. Lord Jesus! Hallelujah! Whatever the light exposes, the blood cleanses. So you don't need to fear the exposure, because there is the blood. Whatever the light exposes, the blood cleanses. Yeah. Anyway, you all will speak more of that tomorrow. But I want us to be impressed. The blood really cleanses. Amen. So once the exposure comes, when we walk in the light, then the blood cleanses. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sins and our offenses. So you don't need to worry. You don't need to fear. And after the shining and the cleansing is done, then there's way for more life and more fellowship of life, more enjoyment of life. And then the shining and the cleansing help us to maintain the divine fellowship, and it's for the growth in life. So let me ask you again, do you like the light? Amen. If you love the divine fellowship and you love the growth in life, then you need to love the light. Okay, let's move on to point four. I want to test some practical points. Let's read point four and A. The way to be enlightened and to live in the divine light includes five practical points. We must desire, accept, and receive the Lord's shining. So I like these three words. We must desire. If we want more life, we must desire the light. And we must accept and receive. And I like this point that Enosh made, that that we're already in a realm of light. God as light has entered into us. He has given us His Word, which is light. He has given us the saints who are light. And He has opened the meetings to us where there is light. So in a sense, we don't have to go out and seek for light. The light is shining. We spend time with the Lord, there is shining. I think we can't deny that. When we come to the Word and allow the Word to become the living Word to us, we can't deny there is light. When we're with the saints, there is light. When we're in the meetings, there is light. But we need to accept this light, and we need to receive this light. And this word to me, receive, on the one hand, you might say, okay, well, receiving the light, you're just under it, so I've received light. But that's not quite the sense here. To receive the light is to welcome the light, to say amen to the light, to accept what the light shines on, what the light exposes. And so when the light comes, we need to turn our hearts and open ourselves to the Lord. And anyway, my burden is on point C and D. And I think Enosh touched it again, but I want to touch it a little bit more. Let's read C and D together. We should put a stop to our views, a way of looking at things, feelings, opinions, and words, and just open to the Lord as light. Let's just read C. I highlight these words, just open. Just open. And coming, when the light comes, there are a lot of responses. And a lot of the right response is just open. But I think a lot of the time we respond and say, well, we have a lot of excuses, a lot of responses. It wasn't that bad. Or everyone else is doing it. It must be okay. Even the saints are doing it. It's okay, right? Or, no, it's not. If the light says no, don't argue. Don't argue with light. You can't argue with light. You can't win against light. And this light is the light of life. If you refuse this light, then you are refusing life. And if we reject the light, then we are rejecting life. Maybe this one. I don't know. I don't know if this happens to anybody. My parents said it was okay. You know, I think a lot of time we ask, can I do this? And once we get the okay, then we feel like it's okay. But have you ever just gotten some light and the light says, actually, it's not okay. It's not okay. You know, my serving one said it's okay. I asked for permission, I asked for the blessing, and they said, it's okay, you can do this. But the light, sometimes the light will shine, and the light says no. Don't argue with the light. This happened to me last week. This next one happened to me last week. Technically, it's not wrong. Did you ever use that excuse? You know, actually, it's not actually illegal. But the light says no. And I want to touch this because as I was considering this matter, in the fourfold fall of man, man fell successively from God's presence, from the light, from living in the light and enjoying God as light. Man fell from God's presence to the governing of man's conscience. And then man further fell from man's conscience, the governing of man's conscience, to others' control, either a human government, maybe deputy authorities, serving ones, parents, teachers, or just the law. And then man further fell from human government, from others' control, to utter rebellion and anarchy. And in God's salvation, we're going the other direction. He's saving us. From rebellion to at least obeying the law. And then from at least obeying the law, being governed by our conscience. And from being governed by our conscience to being governed by the divine light. By God's presence, by the light itself. And the light is where the life is. So to use that excuse and say, well, it's not illegal. Well, praise the Lord, you've been rescued from rebellion. And you're at least keeping the letter of the law. But we don't want just the letter of the law. We want life. And life is in the light. So even if you get the okay from the law, there are actually a lot of things the law okays that are not okay. I don't know if you're considering anything right now, but there are a lot of things the law okays that the light does not okay. Go with the light. Go with the light. Because that's where the life is. I don't know. Should I labor on those examples? Anyway, there are many examples. Just think of a few. Okay, I'm just going to mention this one. Okay. I mean, this matter of fornication. Okay, I don't want to mention that, but according to the law, it's okay. There's no law against it. So even in society, most people are okay with it. And actually, some believers are okay with it. Did you know that? But is the light okay with it? The light is not okay with it. I was really impressed in the training that this is one thing that will cause us more quickly than anything else to lose our birthright, to lose our enjoyment of Christ, to cause us to forfeit our right to enjoy Christ, to express Him and represent Him. Go with the light. With the light, just say amen to the light. Just open. Don't argue. Treasure the sweet flow of life. If you want the sweet flow of life, and if you want the sweet flow of life to deepen, just say amen to the light. Learn not to argue. Learn to put a stop to our views, our way of looking at things, our feelings, opinions, and words. It's a lot easier. It really is a lot easier just to say amen. You know, last week I told you I did something. Technically, it wasn't illegal. I told the light that. Lord, I justified myself. It's not illegal. It's actually not illegal, Lord. He didn't accept that. He didn't go along with that. And for a little while, there was no light, so there was no life. And I eventually had to say, Lord, actually, I'm sorry. I confess. Amen. When you say amen, the flow of life, the flow of life comes back. Amen. And the flow of life deepens. And the flow of life increases. Now let's read point D, and then I want to say a little bit about this too. We should not dispute with the enlightening within, but immediately accept, submit, and deal with it accordingly. Immediately. Immediately. Of course, in our experience, like Enosh, it may be years later, and it happens, but as much as you can, immediately. And the more you do, you realize, like Enosh did, that actually it's a joy. Because when I respond to the light and say amen to the light, immediately life comes back. And life deepens. And so when the next shining comes, then remember that. And just say amen. Because treasure the sweet flow of life. If you want more life, just say amen. It's simpler. It's faster. Because you can't win anyway. You can't win. You can't win against light. And then as we learn to respond, then the shining goes deeper. And the shining goes broader. And then as we respond to the light, then more light can come. And as we respond to the light more, then more life can come. More life, more light. More light, more life. And this cycle of the spiritual life will further us in the growth of the divine life unto maturity. So, and then deal with it accordingly. As Enosh mentioned, some sins are between us and God. Some things are between us and man. Some things require some restitution. Deal with it accordingly, according to the shining, until the flow of life is restored. Deal with it accordingly. If it's between you and the Lord, confess it between you and the Lord. If it's between you and somebody else and the Lord is constraining you to apologize, learn to say, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And then if there's a matter of restitution, at least as Enosh did, you know, offer it. If the other party refuses it, that's fine. But we should be ready to deal with it accordingly, according to the light, not according to our attempts to remember, not according to our self-made light, but as the light shines, deal with it accordingly. And as we deal with it, there's more life. And as there's more life, there's more light. And then point E, let's read that. We should not only obey the Lord shining once,
but also learn to continually
keep ourselves under the enlightening we have received. So sometimes the light shines to keep us from breaking the fellowship. Sometimes the light shines to cause us to restore the fellowship, to restore the fellowship. But after the light has shined, just keep yourself in the light. You know, if the light has shined, just keep yourself under the shining of that light. Keep yourself under that restriction. Keep yourself in the amen. To maintain, you know, don't wait for the fellowship to be broken and then for the light to shine. You know, if we can learn to respond to the light and not allow the fellowship to be broken, even better. Then there's a way for that to be deepened. Otherwise, we have the fellowship, we break it, we come back. That's kind of a flat cycle, you know. But we want to be ascending and progressing and going on with the Lord. So maintain and develop and allow this cycle of life to bring us on to maturity. Okay. Then let's read the focus together, and then I think we have some time left over for responses. So as we're reading the focus, just consider if there's something that you would like to share, an experience, or some light that you received, something from this morning, your time with the Lord, the speaking this morning, even last night. Just maybe we can read the focus and prepare to respond to all the speaking, all the light that we have received. Amen. Our relationship with God in life is unbreakable. However, we need to maintain our fellowship with Him by living in the divine life and by remaining training. This will cause us to grow in the divine life unto maturity. Okay, looks like we don't have the microphones up, but if you want to speak something... Okay, they're coming. Maybe you can just come up and then the microphones will be here. And then you can just speak something in response to the light, testify concerning these things, and encourage us all to go on unto maturity.